Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. This is the sixth in a series of messages under the theme Family Matters. Tonight's message, Disciplining Children God's Way. James Dobson has become the foremost expert, at least among Bible-believing Christians, on how to rear children. He's the author of many books, and I've read not all of his books, but most of them. My favorite is entitled Straight Talk to Men and Their Wives. If you've not secured a copy of Straight Talk to Men and Their Wives, let me encourage you to rush off to the bookstore tomorrow to purchase it and begin reading it. He tells a rather humorous story in that book about a 10-year-old boy by the name of Robert. Robert was a patient of a close physician friend of James Dobson. Because the boy was obnoxious, the boy's visits to the physician were dreaded by the office staff of that physician. His passive mother would watch in bewilderment as time after time he would tear around the office grabbing everything in sight. On one visit to the physician observed some cavities in Robert's teeth and he made a referral to a dentist. He was very particular about which dentist he referred Robert to because he did not want to end a professional relationship. The confrontation that follows, Dobson says, is a classic in the moments and the annals of human history. Dobson writes, 10-year-old Robert arrived in the dental office prepared for battle. Get in the chair, young man, said the dentist. No chance, replied Robert. Son, I told you to get into the chair, and that's what I intend for you to do, said the dentist. Robert stared at his opponent for a moment and then replied, if you make me get in that chair, I will take off all my clothes. The dentist calmly said, son, take them off. So Robert removed his shirt, his undershirt, his shoes and socks, and looked up at the dentist in defiance. All right, son, said the dentist, now get in that chair. You didn't hear me, sputtered Robert. I said, if you make me get on that chair, I will take off all my clothes. Son, take them off, said the dentist. Robert proceeded to remove his pants and undershorts, standing totally naked before the dentist and the dentist assistant. Now, son, get in the chair, said the dentist. Robert did as he was told and sat cooperatively through the entire procedure. When the cavities were drilled and filled, he was instructed to step down from the chair. As he did so, Robert said, give me my clothes now. I'm sorry, replied the dentist. Tell your mother that we're going to keep your clothes tonight. She can pick them up tomorrow. Dobson writes, can you comprehend the shock Robert's mother received? When the door to the waiting room opened, and there stood her pink son, as naked as the day he was born. The room was filled with patients, but Robert and his mom walked past them and into the hall. They went down a public elevator and onto the parking lot, ignoring the snickers of onlookers. The next day, Robert's mother returned to retrieve her clothes, for his clothes, and asked to have a word with the dentist. However, she did not come to protest. Dobson says these were her sentiments. You don't know how much I appreciate what happened here yesterday. You see, Robert has been blackmailing me about his clothes for years. Whenever we were in a public place, such as a grocery store, he makes unreasonable demands of me. If I don't immediately buy him what he wants, he threatens to take off all his clothes. You are the first person to call his bluff, and the impact on Robert has been incredible. God has given to every mother and every father the authority to call the bluff of their sons and daughters. It is God's gift to every parent. A passive parent dishonors the Lord. A parent who honors the Lord is one who will use his God-given authority to discipline wayward sons and daughters. And a wise, loving parent will be careful to discipline their children. And so tonight, think with me about disciplining children God's way. First of all, we want to consider some reasons for disciplining children. And then next, we want to consider some rules and how to go about the discipline of children. And then finally, the rewards that come to parents who take serious their God-given responsibility to discipline their sons and daughters. But first of all, think with me tonight about some reasons for discipline. The first reason I would suggest tonight is love for your child. Look in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. The Lord says in this portion of Scripture, discipline your son. Now go with me to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. We are admonished in Proverbs 19 to discipline our children. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, we are told, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. It can't be any clearer than that. If you refuse to discipline your wayward child, it is an expression of your hatred for that boy or that girl. God says we ought to discipline them because we love them. Now, when I was a kid, it was obvious to me that my dad loved me a whole lot more than he loved my little sister. And before he would discipline me, he would say something like this, "Son, I'm only doing this because I love you." And I always felt like I was a beloved child. God says he who loves his child is careful to discipline him. Let me give you another reason why you ought to discipline your children. The sinful nature of human nature. Look in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. What is the nature of a child's heart? Proverbs 22:15 tells us that folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Now, you may think that when your little Throckmorton or little Susie comes into the world, that he or she is just a little angel. But I'm telling you, God's Word says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And that sweet little child in your arms is a potential murderer, rapist, liar, and terrorist. We all have Adam's nature. The theologians refer to it as the Adamic nature. That is, we have a sin nature. We come equipped with a sin nature. You don't have to teach a little toddler to do wrong. That's just standard equipment. It comes with every issue. And so because of the nature of human nature, every mother and every father needs to be careful to discipline that child. Let me give you another reason why we ought to practice disciplining our children. To save the child from destruction. Look in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. God says a child needs to be disciplined in order to be spared destruction. How cruel is a parent who would allow a preschool-age child to take his little Tonka toys out in the middle of a busy highway and play with them without taking that child from the middle of that highway and administering the proper discipline to get that child's attention. How cruel is a parent who would allow his or her son or daughter to play with a sharp butcher knife and not take that knife away and administer the proper discipline in order to spare that child from danger. But it's more than the danger of being cut by a butcher knife, and it's more than the danger of being run over by an automobile. There is the danger of disobeying God and the destruction that comes eternally to those who refuse the discipline of God. And so we ought to discipline our children to save them from death and destruction. Let me give you another reason for disciplining children. That is to teach wisdom. Now, it's one thing to accumulate knowledge. That's what the school system does. But it is the parents' responsibility, along with the church, to teach wisdom. There's a big difference between the two. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, we see the importance of discipline as it relates to wisdom. Proverbs 29:15. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to itself disgraces his mother. Do you understand, Mom and Dad, that there's some things that your toddler, your school-age boy or girl can learn in the seat of his pants that he can't learn any other way? God says the rod of correction imparts wisdom. And so we ought to discipline our sons and daughters in order to teach them to be wise. Let me give you another reason why we ought to practice the discipline of our children. Preparation for God's discipline. If you're a mom or dad that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, then certainly it is your ambition and your desire that your sons and daughters know Jesus. And when a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he becomes a child of our Father in heaven. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that if we are the children of God, then we can expect to experience discipline from the hand of God. So look with me now in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. God says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. God disciplines His children. As a Christian, if you wander away from the will of God, you should expect the chastening, disciplining hand of God to bring you back to His will. To profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to live in blatant rebellion to the will of God and not to incur discipline from the Spirit of God is to question whether or not you've truly been saved. Because you may be an illegitimate child. You may just think you're saved when you're not. Because if you're truly saved, and you get out of the will of God, and you blatantly thumb your nose at God, you can expect God to chasten and discipline you. Now, fortunate is the child who has Christian parents who discipline him or her as a child when he or she needs to be disciplined, because that is preparation for those years to come when that person will experience the disciplining hand of God. And so there are some reasons why parents ought to practice discipline of their children. Now, let me share with you some rules, some guidelines, if you please. 10 in nature, or 10 in number, about how we should practice childhood discipline. First of all, when you discipline a child, it should always be for disobedience and disrespect. That is, make sure that you discipline for the right reason. If your child has an accident, that's an improper reason for discipline. I mean, if you get upset at the supper table because little Junior spilled the milk, and you choose to discipline him because of that, what are you going to do when the following evening you spill the milk at the supper table? If you exercise discipline against a child because he forgot to take out the trash, what about when you forget to do one of your chores? Who's going to discipline you? So we ought to discipline for the right reason. And the right reason is for willful disobedience and or disrespect. That is, you say to a child, this is what I'd like you to do. And your child takes his scrawny little toe and draws it in the dust and says, I ain't gonna do it, you can't make me. That's rebellion. That's when it's time to exercise discipline. Let me give you another reason. Another rule for discipline. Discipline in love, never in anger. Now, perhaps some mom somewhere is thinking, well, once I get over being angry at little Junior, then I don't have the heart to discipline him. And you've got a problem, lady. You've got a problem, sir. But we ought never to discipline a child in anger, but always in love. Never, 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 never slap a child. Ever. Just don't do it. Someone said, never slap a child in the face. God has provided a better place. Well, I just say don't slap a child, period. Just don't do it. Let me give you another rule or guideline to follow as we think about childhood discipline. Start early enough. You need to get an early start. You wait till he's old enough to drive. You waited 16 years and 170 pounds too late. When should you start? James Dobson says when they're about 18 to 24 months. No later than 24 months. You wait past 24 months, you're pushing it. Start early enough. Don't delay too long. Let me give you another rule to follow. Use the rod of discipline. Now you'll recall when we were looking at the reasons for discipline, on several occasions we read this phrase, the rod of discipline or the rod of correction. Now what does that mean? That means they ought to be spanked. I know that spanking has fallen out of favor in recent years. 1946, a pediatrician by the name of Dr. Benjamin Spock wrote a book entitled Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care. And in that book, he said, You are wrong to spank a child. And so we've had a whole generation raised by Spock instead of Spank. And now we're suffering the consequences of that. I was interested to read just a couple years ago that Dr. Spock has now recanted that I was wrong about telling parents not to spank their children. Yeah, about 40 years too late. Use the rod of discipline, what the Bible calls a rod of discipline or a rod of correction. Now, what is a rod of discipline? It could be a variety of things. It could be a ruler. It could be a paddle. It could be a belt. It could be a switch. My mom and dad always kept 3 switches on top of the refrigerator. One for me, which was used often. One for my sister, not so often. And an extra in case one broke. But a rod is something beside your hand. Now, have you ever wondered why the Bible speaks of the rod of discipline? I mean, what's wrong with using your hand? Why do you have to use a rod? I believe there are several reasons. Number one, the Bible commends its use. Even if we didn't understand, we ought to just follow God. I mean, this is the book of God's wisdom. Number two, as a parent, you don't want to hurt your hand when you spank the child. You use a rod, no pain inflicted on you, all the pain goes to the child. Use your hand, pain for both of you. Number three, you don't want to confuse the child. You see, your hands ought to be associated in the mind of your sons and daughters with affection, with warmth, with love. And whenever you reach out your hand suddenly, they ought not to think you're about to strike them. They ought to think maybe you're about to embrace them. And then a fourth reason is leverage. Now, I'm big on leverage. Every parent needs all the leverage he can muster. Here's how it works. Let's say you and your spouse are sitting there in the den, maybe reading the paper, doing something. And it's about time for the children to get ready for bed. And so you say, okay, let's start picking up all the toys and putting them away. It's time to go to bed. Now, 99% of the kids in America go stone deaf when a parent says that. Rare is the child who will do on the first command what mom or dad says. I mean, they just it's like you don't exist. They don't hear it. And in the typical home, the parent says, I thought I just told you to pick up your toys and put them away. And they just keep playing. 5 minutes passes a third time. Let's pick up those toys. Start putting them away. We need to get ready for bed. Kid just ignores you. And every time you say it, your anger rises. The tone of your voice gets a little more shrill. You get a little madder. And then maybe after the 5th or 6th or 7th time and 20 or 30 or 40 minutes past bedtime has passed, you finally lose your cool. Snatch him up and take him to the bedroom. How much better is leverage? Now, when our kids were preschoolers and early elementary age children, we learned that if we had administered discipline the way God says, then when we said something like, let's pick up the stuff and put it away, they were going to ignore us as well. But if that was the case, then all I had to do was just sort of walk over and get right in front of one of them and just start doing this. Now, if it hadn't been but a few weeks, that's all I had to do. If it had been a few months, sometimes I had to do this much. If it had been quite a while, I had to take it off, and occasionally I had to use it. Leverage. Wouldn't you like some leverage? Let me give you another rule. keep your word. If you say to a child, you do that one more time and you'll be spanked, and he does it one more time, you are honor bound to keep your word. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't say, do that again and you'll be spanked unless you intend to back up your threat. Don't be a paper tiger. Keep your word. Number next. If a child needs to be disciplined, do not delay administering the discipline. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, we're told, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. And what's true in the judicial and the penal system is true in the home. And the younger the child is, the more quickly do you need to administer discipline. Do not delay. Mom, don't ever say, just wait till your dad gets home. Boy, are you going to get it. Because it may be 5, 6, 7 hours before dad comes home. And then you're going to ask him to administer discipline for an offense that this 3 or 4 or 5-year-old doesn't even remember committing. Moms, you have as much authority from God to discipline your children as does your husband. Do not delay. Number next. If at all possible, discipline in private. Now, sometimes in a shopping center, you don't have any choice. Don't be intimidated. You know, you may take him out behind the car. Maybe just a few folks will see it. But if at all possible, discipline in private. Don't discipline that wayward child in front of his or her brother or sister or some friend in the neighborhood. It was our practice when our kids were of age where they needed to be disciplined to go to the bathroom, close the door, and keep the neighbors from hearing all the commotion. Do it in private. Number next, present a united front. Every kid comes into this world equipped with an innate ability to play one parent off against the other. Don't let him do you that way. Mom and dad always ought to present a united front. Now, if you have a disagreement, you need to go in private, you and your mate, and work out in private what your disagreement is, decide what you can agree on, but always present a united front to your children. Let me tell you a good way that we found to be helpful to make sure our kids knew they couldn't play mom off against dad or dad off against mom. When a wayward child was taken to the bathroom for the administration of discipline, both of us would go, and one would hold while the other spanked. That way, there's no doubt in the kid's mind that I can't play one off against the other. So present a united front. Number next, when it comes time to administer discipline, do a good job. This is no appeal for child abuse. There's no excuse, justification, ever. Never has been, never will be. God's Word doesn't appeal for this, for child abuse. But when you spank a child, do a good job. These little love taps don't hurt you and don't hurt him. Have absolutely no impact in changing his or her wayward behavior. Use the rod of discipline and do a good job. 2 or 3 or 4 well-placed licks on that special part of a child's anatomy put there with extra padding by God for this particular purpose will last a long time. I am persuaded that a spanking administered properly will last for weeks and weeks and sometimes months and months. If you're spanking your kid 5 and 10 times a day, you're not doing it right. You're frustrated. He's probably laughing behind your back. Number next, remember that the goal of discipline is repentance. You're not disciplining him because you're angry. You're disciplining your child because you're sad. Because you love the child and you're sad that the child has been disrespectful or disobedient. And so the goal is to bring the child to a place where he or she is willing to repent, to acknowledge that what I did was wrong, and to forsake it. You say, well, how will I know? When his anger turns to a spirit of brokenness and a willingness to repent and to apologize to the one he wounded or injured, then you'll know. And when you have finished administering discipline, assure your child of your love for him or her. Hold him or her in your arms. Wipe his tears. It's proper on some occasions to pray with your child, just to assure your child that you love him and God loves him. And so those are some rules or some guidelines for the administration of childhood discipline. Now finally and quickly, what are the rewards of discipline? Look in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. The rewards are twofold. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring the light to your soul. The two rewards of discipline are peace and delight. God wants you to be at peace about your children, not to be anxious or worried, but just to have that peace in your heart. And a child who is disciplined will bring to the heart of mom and dad true peace. And then delight to your soul. Don't you want to be able to delight in your sons and daughters? To take great joy in who they are as persons? And I know from experience when they're preschoolers and elementary age and teenagers, you wonder, will I ever make it? Will I survive parenthood with my sanity intact? We ought never to let our guard down because Satan is like a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour, mom, dad, and sons and daughters. But I'm thankful to God that God does answer the prayers of parents. And I take great delight as I observe my grown and almost grown children, as I see them mature, love God, obey God. It's worth it, folks. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep your knees on the floor. Pray without ceasing. Follow God's admonition about disciplining your sons and daughters. And someday you'll reap the reward of children who bring peace and delight to you and your mate. Let's pray.